Well, this is Roy Beard with Covenant Life Ministries. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. I hope that during our time together, that the Holy Spirit will inspire our hearts to seek the face of God in a more powerful way. It's my desire to encourage you to allow the atmosphere of heaven and the culture of the kingdom become a reality in your life.
If you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. Father, give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Help us to open our minds and open our hearts to receive from you that which you desire to open up to us. Help us to whet our hunger, our appetite, our thirst in your word and in your spirit. I ask that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What I want to talk about tonight is, Lord, I'm thirsty. Oh, I am thirsty for the things of God. My heart and the hearts of many people that I talk to are crying out daily, more, more, more of you, Lord. I talk to people all the time who express their dissatisfaction with the status quo spiritually, and they're troubled by what they see in this world. They and I realize that the only hope, I mean the absolute only hope for this world and even this country, is God. I'm encouraged that many people are expressing a desire for more of God, and people are expressing a thirst for God, but sometimes that amounts to nothing more than words. There's no action that accompanies the declaration. Sometimes there's a lack of sincerity in the declaration. It just sounds good. Sometimes there's a lack of instruction on how to have more of God. Both of those are problematic. But having more of God and getting closer to God is a condition and a position that's available to every believer. It's not something that only the select of the elect can attain. It's the desire of God. I believe this with all of my heart. It's the desire of God that everybody come to the water and drink. Everybody can have as much of God and as much of the Spirit of God as they desire and they'll avail themselves to. We can all come to the river and drink. Isaiah 55 and 1 said, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Matthew 5 and 6 said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I believe, and the Bible teaches, that there's a river of God that's flowing. It's a river that never runs dry. It's a river of plenteous supply. It's a river that completely satisfies the longing soul. And in a natural river, a river at flood stage purifies that river. And when the river of God begins to overflow in our hearts and in our lives, it purifies and washes away the dross. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it said, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, whom they, those who believed in him, were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There is a river that's flowing on the inside of every believer that will come and drink. That's
incredibly inviting. It's incredibly challenging. It's incredibly enlightening. We talk about being hungry, and we talk about being thirsty for more of God. We talk about wanting more of God. We talk about wanting to be vessels that God can use. We talk, and that's the problem. We talk. We talk too much at times without actually having actions to go along with our talking. Having more of God, having our spiritual thirst quenched, and more of the power of God in our lives doesn't just happen. It requires something on our part. There's our responsibility. We have a part to play in that. First and foremost, we have to come to Him, and then we have to drink. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:2 that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word like newborn babies are looking for that bottle. We have to hunger. We have to thirst. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. The psalmist said in Psalm 63:1, O God, you're my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Well, in the natural, we get thirsty. And sometimes we get really thirsty. And if we really get thirsty, we'll seek water with a sense of desperation. Why would then we think that it would be different in the spiritual realm? Thirst will never be quenched by looking at a glass of water or knowing that we have a pitcher of water in the refrigerator that we can have a drink from. You have to actually drink. Believers, everybody that's hearing me, it's time that you and I allow the Holy Spirit to cause our hunger and our thirst to rise to the level of desperation. Hungering and thirsting for God is more than turning over a new leaf. It's more than practicing morality. It's more than just trying to live right. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us into the righteousness of God. We have to pursue the righteousness of God. It doesn't just happen. Now, let me suggest that upright and moral behavior is only righteous. Hear me. It's only righteous if it comes from a righteous heart. And that only comes through a relationship with God. I would contend that righteousness, biblical righteousness, is imputed to us. It's infused into our hearts through salvation. And Romans 1:17 tells us that righteousness is achieved by faith. It said, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that's by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. Christian, God's offering the righteousness of Jesus Christ to His children. We can put on the robe of righteousness. We can put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's part of our armor. It's part of our makeup. It's part of what God makes available to me. It's who we are, not just what we do. And I'd also suggest that righteousness has to be pursued. See, we're saved by faith. We're saved by faith through grace. But we're called to grow and mature and live uprightly. We face the constant tension and the constant tug of the world, but the grace of God, by His grace, you and I can prevail, and we can be transformed into the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, that's not ever going to happen. That will never ever happen if we are cavalier about our relationship with Him, if we're hit and miss in our relationship with Him, if we're spasmodic in our relationship with Him. God has to be pursued. Matthew 7 tells us that we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock. and that if we ask and seek and knock, we're going to find. I've had people tell me that if you pray more than once, you're praying in doubt. Well, what happened to ask, seek, and knock? What happened to the illustration of the lady going before the judge and kept bugging him and bugging him and bugging him and bugging him and bugging him? What happens to asking until you know, until you're assured? Folks, we have to get desperate. We need to have an earnestness in our heart. We need to have a persistence in our heart. There comes a time to when you have to bombard heaven, and you keep bombarding heaven until you know that the answers come. Now, I believe all of this implies a progressive approach to our relationship in God. If we truly want the prayer Jesus prayed, instructed us to pray in Matthew 6, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we really want it to become a reality that the kingdom of God and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven and in our world and our lives, we're going to have to thirst for God. We're going to have to make it a point that we pursue him with our passion. We pursue him with our body, soul, and strength. We pursue him with our mind. We have to come to him and drink. I believe there's a truth that sometimes is overlooked, but it absolutely cannot be overlooked. Our appetites determine our spiritual condition. Our appetites determine our spiritual condition. What are you hungry for? What's driving you? What's drawing you? What's tugging at your heart? What fills your heart? What fills your mind? What fills your longing? Well, if it's God and more of God, then your spiritual condition is going to reflect that. We eat and we drink what we want to eat and drink because we want to. You can say, well, I'm hungry for God, but it's like a famine. No, it's not. There is availability all of the time. We eat and drink what we want to because we want to. We want it. That's what we want. If we want something bad enough, we'll struggle to obtain it, we'll sacrifice to get it, we'll go to incredible lengths to achieve it. See, that's true in the natural, and it's true in the spiritual. So if we want more of God and become hungry and thirsty enough, we'll press in and we'll seek him and we'll find him. God's always, always, hear me, always willing to give us his spirit, always willing to give us his person, always willing to give us his presence. And having the presence of God is available, as it's revealed in the prayer Jesus said, pray in Matthew 6, 9. If the kingdom of God coming and the will of God to be done on earth as it was in heaven were not a reality, not a possibility, the Lord would never have told us to pray that prayer. Now, with a little bit of caution, I want to call your attention to something that I believe is incredibly important. And sometimes I'm fearful that I make things seem overly easy. There are some conditions to receiving the spirit and power of God in our lives and have it function in our lives. It takes more than just wishful thinking or saying that we want it. John 7:37 again said, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, where do you go? You go to the source of the water. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, we know that the Spirit was given in the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, Acts 2. And so I ask that you and I, that we focus our heart and we focus our mind and then give some thought to the conditions that are required to receive the fullness of God that our hearts are craving, that we're saying that our hearts crave. Condition number one, write this down. Condition number one, we have to become thirsty. We must become thirsty. That means that you and I have to develop the ardent, the eager, the famishing, the keen, and all-consuming craving and passion in our soul for a complete union with God and to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. In verse 2 of our text of Psalm 42, verse 2, the psalmist said, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Not just any God, but the living God. In Psalm 63 and 1, the writer is desperately seeking, and he says, "Oh God, you're my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." That's thirst. Psalms 143 and 6, he said, "I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as in a parched land." The picture, the word picture is incredibly clear. To find God and have our spiritual thirst quenched, we have to become desperately and earnestly thirsty. He has to become the most important pursuit of our life. In Isaiah 41:17, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the afflicted and the needy that were seeking water. But there was no water to be found. Their tongues were parched from the lack of water. They were famishing. They were absolutely drying up of thirst. They were dehydrating. God promises in the next verse that he would open rivers on the bare heights and send springs into the midst of the valley. God's promise is you don't have to stay barren. You don't have to stay dry. You don't have to stay thirsty. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what's going on, God says there will be the desired spiritual water. In Isaiah 44:3-4, "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land." That's God's promise. "And streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water." What a picture. If we seek him, the Bible says we're going to find him. If we develop that kind of thirst, we're going to be satisfied. He's not going to leave us searching for something spiritual. We're going to have it. Elisha had that kind of thirst. In 2 Kings 2, he was seeking a double portion anointing, the anointing of Elijah, but in a double portion. And he followed Elijah to Gilgal, and he followed him to Bethel, and then he followed him to Jordan. He refused to be turned back. He refused to be denied. He was so thirsty that he couldn't see anything else but having a drink of that water. He refused to accept delay and refused to accept denial. He pressed into the double portion because he was thirsty. Joel said that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. All flesh. And that includes you. That includes me if we're thirsty. He said all flesh. And may I pray the Lord will increase our thirst and help us to become so determined to press in and drink that absolutely nothing will deter us. Condition number one is you have to become thirsty. Condition number two is you have to come to the source. You have to come to Jesus. You're not going to have this spiritual thirst quenched without coming to Jesus. That involves, and it means a total surrender of our lives to the Lord. Now, you can't give him part of your life. You have to give him your all. You have to give him body, soul, spirit. You have to give him mind, will, emotion. You have to give him all of your heart. That means that we're going to seek the will of God in all things. And we're going to walk in all of the light that we've received. We're going to give God a totally surrendered heart. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden's light. This is not easy, but his yoke and his burden is. Why? Not because it's easy, but because he's there helping us. Jesus followed that up, and John followed it up of the sayings of the Lord of 1 John 1:7, saying, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we're to have all of God, then he has to have all of us. He has to be in control. He has to increase. We have to decrease. He has to be Lord as well as Savior. He has to find us a yielded vessel. We can't have the fullness of God without a total surrender of our lives to him. When we come to Jesus, that's the source of supply. That's the source of the water. That's, Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, out of your innermost makeup will flow this river. That'll flow and flow and flow. And it'll flow out of you, but you never lack supply. You don't run out. It overflows. It's the overflow that touches other people. So we have to be thirsty. We have to come to Jesus. And then once we've come to Jesus, we have to drink. That's condition number three. You'll never, ever quench thirst in the natural by simply looking at a pitcher, a glass of water, or a pitcher of water, or holding one in your hand. You have to actually place the glass to your mouth and take a drink. That means that we have to have a wholehearted reception of the water of life that he gives and have him come into our life. We have to receive his gift. We have to receive his fruit. We have to receive his spirit. His word has to live in us. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 13, talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministry, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. There are times we need that word of wisdom to where we will be able to give proper direction. And to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. There are times we need to be able to know what's unknowable to the natural man, the gift of the Spirit. And to another, faith through the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he will. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink, hear me, drink of one Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are directly connected to our relationship with Jesus and our connection with the Father. Galatians 5:22 and 23 is a very powerful truth. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. It's like a magnet. It's to a piece of metal. It's like a flame to a moth. It's like a light to a bug. It's like honey to a fly. In Revelation 22 and 17, the Holy Spirit invites us to come. The thirsty can come. The hungry can come. The willing can come. You and I will never be filled, never be satisfied until we come to His river and drink. And condition number 4, we have to believe on Jesus as the Bible teaches. You have to be thirsty. You have to come to Jesus. You have to drink. Then faith has to be a part of the process. Biblical believing implies obedience. And if we're to receive His fullness, we have to walk in complete obedience. There are no shortcuts in God. Jesus told His followers in Matthew 28 and 20 to go into all the world and share the message of grace and teach the new converts to obey the commandments of God. He told them also to tell the new converts that He would personally be there to guide them and comfort them. Mark 16, He repeated that in verses 15 and 20, and He gives even a more detailed directive. In John 14 and 15, Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." And after the resurrection in Acts 1 and 4, we find the followers of Christ were assembled just as He'd instructed them. They were waiting for the promise of the Father. They were awaiting the river that would spring up inside them through the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5 and 32, they testified that they were His witnesses. And so is the Holy Spirit of God that God gives to His obedient. The truth is that if you and I want more of God, we can have more of God. And the problem's not on God's end, it's on our end. If we want more of the Holy Spirit, we can have more of the Holy Spirit. If we want to see the power of God manifest in our lives, we can see the power of God manifest in our lives. Every time I talk to God about power, God talks to me about purity. See, the solution's simple. We have to thirst, we have to come to Jesus, we have to drink, and we have to obey. We have to believe what He said. So my question to each one of us today is, are we thirsty? Are you thirsty? Do you long for more of God? Do you long for more of His Spirit, more of His power, more of His grace, more of His gift? Well, He's willing, and He's waiting for you and me to come and drink. So let your thirst draw you to His river. Having more of God's not automatic. It requires effort on our part. It requires an investment of us. To quench our thirst, we have to come to Him. We have to seek Him. We have to pursue Him. No wonder Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And the question is, how deep and how intense is our thirst? The question is, will we invest our time and our energy to pursue Him? The question is, will we determine that anything less than the fullness of God is unsatisfactory in our lives? That's the question. Father, I ask that You touch each one of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring conviction to our hearts. Bring conviction to our minds. Bring conviction to our soul. Cause us to realize what You're offering. Help us to become so thirsty that anything less than Your fullness is absolutely unsatisfactory. I pray in Jesus' precious name that You would move on every heart right now and help us to receive what You have offered. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. Be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you. Thank you.